You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Rhett Palmer, the mayor of the Airways. How are you doing today? Jill Cohen is Jewish, yet she believes in Jesus. But most importantly, she's adopted, and she's written a new book, Do You Think About Me on My Birthday? Jill is a good friend of the show. You've been coming on the show for over 10 years. How are you, Jill?
I'm doing great, Rhett. How are you?
Okay, Jill is a journalist. And she's been, we talk politics, but today we're going to be talking about something that will touch. If you know anybody that's been adopted or is thinking about adoption, or if you're adopted, this is a show you won't want to miss. So thanks for coming on. Now, you've been waiting quite a while to write this book, Do You Think About Me on My Birthday? And as you can see, the cover that's right in front of everybody, Mind-Blowing Adoption Story by Jill Cohen. Why did you wait so long to put this out? You've been thinking about it for years, right?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So this story actually, as an adopted child, you know, I didn't really think that much of being adopted. It was just a great part of my life and part of who I was. My brother and sister were also adopted, and that was just life for us. And then when I was in college, a man showed up in my dorm room who turned out to be my biological father. And that's how my story is different than most adoptee stories. My story would be unremarkable if it weren't for the fact that one day I woke up to find that I had this other family that I knew nothing about and never expected them to come into my life. If anything, I thought I would go looking for them. You know, when you're adopted and you know you're adopted your whole life, you make up these stories about these people who, you know, gave you up for adoption. You don't know why. You don't know who they are. You don't know who you are in a way. But for me, all of a sudden, I was faced with this reality of this person who turns out had been stalking me my whole life. So, yeah. So my story is much different than most adoptee story. And my brother and sister, nothing like that has happened to them. And no. They do my story like, wow, Jill, you know, like, what's that?
Now the stalking. I have no idea about your story. I'm about to learn with everybody else. But stalking, now, I can understand if I'd had a daughter that I'm going to be looking around the corner if I could. And maybe I feel like I'm not supposed to disturb her life. Was it that? Was it because he wanted to know his daughter? Or, well, how do you differentiate stalking from, you know, wanting to keep up with you?
Yeah, so it was a little bit more detailed than that in my story. My story was very different because from the time that I was given up for adoption and I was given to the Jewish Family and Children's Services. So that's very common in this country. You either went through Jewish Family and Children's or you went through Catholic Services or you went through a private adoption of some kind. But so I went through Jewish Family and Children's. My mother was not Jewish. My mother was actually Christian. And my father, though, was Jewish. And my mother believed that I would have a good life if I was given to a Jewish family. And she thought they would accept me because I did have Jewish blood. Well, it didn't really even matter to them because they did convert me to Judaism as an infant. I was taken to what they call a mikvah. It's like a baptism. So I was baptized to be as Jewish as any Jew born to a Jewish woman. And my parents were told that I could even marry an Orthodox Jew if I wanted to, because I was this Jewish now because of the
speaking of Orthodox Jews. Did you know that the woman is so revered in the Orthodox or the Hasidic Jewish families that if you're married, you're a man, and your wife dies, you have children, they'll give you 2 months. After 2 months, they take the children out of the home. And they're not to return till there's a mother figure living in the house. That's how important the mother is in the Jewish household. My mother always said, the woman is the center of the household. There's little doubt about that, that women set the pace in the household. You set the pace out there on the outside world, but it's that's how they esteem it. I want the people to know just very quickly that I can relate to this, of course, because my brother, before he drowned on 911, said, "Don't tell mom, but I believe I have a daughter somewhere." He'd had an affair at 17 with a little Jewish girl, Debbie Dorfman, and she was sent off to a home for unwed mothers, had the baby. Back then, it was a lot of shame in the early 1960s. So she was sent away and they broke up. He really loved her. There's no doubt. We have the daughter has the letters and things, and it's amazing how much he loved her and wanted to work out. But he was the kind of guy that would never tell you had a broken heart. And then she contacted us 2 years after his death, and she has two sons, Eli and Jonah, and a wonderful husband named Joel.
That's huge. Huge. You know, family is everything. And when you grow up and you are told that you have a family and you are not to ever meet them.
Oh, that's terrible. Here's the kicker. So it's 11 years later, I'm going in to get a massage in some afternoon. And the girl says to me, the lady says, Kathy says, "How are you?" I said, "Well, I'm not too good today because I kind of wish I'd had children, you know." Swear to God. The phone rings. It's my niece. And she says, "Hold on to your hat here." She says, "Uncle Rhett." I'm Uncle Rhett now, which is that's a great title. Uncle Rhett, Scott also had a son, and it was with Linda Leo. I said, "Yeah, Linda, they lived together in the summer of 1969. We all went to Woodstock together." And so now I have, and he has two boys the same age as hers. So it's pretty wild. He's pretty sensitive about this adoption thing, because I guess stuff behind you, you know, tin cans hanging on to you with this whole feeling of maybe rejection. I mean, I don't even know enough to talk about it. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or get anybody mad at me, you know. So if you want to talk about that.
Definitely. I'd love to talk about that, because when you are adopted, you are told that you were given up for adoption. In fact, your adoption papers say on them, mine do anyway, they say relinquishment. What is a relinquishment? It's giving something away that you'll never get it back. And it seems you're told as an adopted child that this is a gift, that you have just received something very special, wonderful. You have a family. Your family wants you so badly. They love you so much. And that is so great. And it's a good feeling to know that you were chosen. And I put chosen in air quotes because, you know, in my case, I mean, my parents went to an adoption agency and they gave me to them. Now, my parents didn't choose me. The adoption agency made the choice. The adoption agency took my background, matched it up with these people. And there was actually a little girl who was born, I think, either the same day I was or before, one day or after or before, I don't know. And her name was Julie. And, you know, I could be Julie as easily as I could be Jill. So, you know, what were the reasons they gave Julie to the Solomons and they gave me to the Cohens? Who knows? You know, that was a choice. You know,
do you love the Cohens? Do they love you? Is that relationship healthy?
So much. I was raised so wonderfully in a wonderful family. I love my brother and sister. We're the three of us are very close. Our parents have passed away. My mother died in 2013 and my father died in 2006. And it was a wonderful experience growing up with them. They were really, really great parents. And the only bad thing that happened was that my parents got divorced when I was 17 years old. And that was the kicker that really set off this guy who was my father. He claimed that the reason he came to look for me was because he found out my parents were getting divorced and he thought I might need him. It was the last thing I needed, actually. But and he also came into my life under cover. He lied about who he was. He didn't tell me. And he pretended he was friends with my family. And I could check that out immediately. I was very close with my family. And I knew everybody who was friends with my parents. And so when this man came into my dorm one day and threw all these crazy stories. I didn't know who he was, but he gave me a clue. he told me, or he asked me if I played the piano. And I said, no, I don't play the piano. And I took piano lessons when I was young, but I don't play the piano. And he got really agitated about that. Like, why don't you play the piano? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever, you know? And he was really weird about it. That's what tipped me off, because I did know that about him. My mother, when I was about 10 years old, gave me a piece of paper that gave me some details about my biological parents, because I was asking questions. And one of those details was that he was a classic trained pianist.
Oh, he was a class. Oh, so that gave you. Okay. Now, but you seem to be a little vitriolic towards him. And I mean, I'm looking from my point of view, because if I'd been I would never let a daughter go. But had I done that, you know, two things he did wrong. One thing is he lied. Never lie, right. Particularly to women, because they set up the whole base. If you lie, then they can't trust anything. Just like Jesus said, he said, no liar shall enter the kingdom of God, because the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And if somebody's a liar, you don't know when they're lying or when they're not lying. It's better to be a thief than to be a liar.
True. And that's what my book is about lying to children. Because, I mean, what happened in my world was I was 17 and it turned out that my father, who I respected more than anyone in the whole world, he was a doctor. He was a plastic surgeon. He was quite famous in Pittsburgh. He was on TV all the time doing the TV shows and stuff. He was a really cool guy and everybody knew him. And when I found out that he was cheating on my mother, I mean, he wasn't just cheating on my mother. He was cheating on our family. We would wait until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night to eat dinner because we thought dad was, you know, help saving someone's life. Instead, he was with this woman, you know.
Now, which father is this? Is this the adopted father?
My dad who raised, his name was Dr. Bernie. And I don't know. My book, I've taken out names because I don't want to tell other people's stories. That's the thing about my book. You asked why it took so long. It's because it's so personal. It's a story about not just my life, but it's a story about the lives of these people who I didn't even know, who gave me up for adoption. And it's a story of my parents who had a horrible divorce.
Well, I'm surprised that you like men at all. You've been put through the ringer when it comes to your adopted dad, to your real dad. And then recently, of course, you were very much in love with your husband. And I think he died, was it 2 years ago now, of cancer? And yeah. I mean, you know, because you were all over the internet with him, and you two traveling, just being together, and you were seemed to be in the center of joy together. And I'm sorry for your loss.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.